The wonderful Don't Call Her a Parenting Expert, Maggie Dent, joins us. Welcome back, Maggie.
Hi, guys.
Good to have you, Maggie. You've got a DVD out, Saving Our Adolescence, Understanding the Bumpy Ride to Adulthood.
Yeah, that's so that people don't have to actually come out at night time. And you can sit down and you actually tie your adolescent to the couch so that you can all watch it together so you realise that most of the awful stuff happening is actually not their fault completely. They don't get up and say, how can I be revolting? And we need to know that these changes that are happening that we can now plot really make them even more forgetful and, you know, disorganised and angry and crabby and stuck in moods.
And selfish.
When you understand it. Well, they're supposed to be.
Yes, that's right. The world revolves around them.
It's supposed to. And they're supposed to be really brave, which is why they make dumbass decisions sometimes that cost their lives. Because you've got to be brave to want to grow up and leave home.
Yeah.
So there's some things going on that when we understand it, they go, oh.
Yeah, right.
So we might sort of see, because one of the first things that often happens is the bedroom goes off, you know, like even organised kids, even those girls, and they suddenly think, oh, look at my room. And mum's going, well, I'm going to tighten up on that and sort that out.
Yeah.
Where in actual fact, their brain's just done a pruning and it forgot about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Getting back to the braveness, is it that seems to be in peer groups as well, that the pressure to be brave, you know, if you go down the river and jump off cliffs and everyone's got to do it and all that kind of stuff. And you're
talking
put yourself
about
at risk.
Boys
in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my big messages is just avoid the dare, because we've lost quite a few lives because of dumb dares. But once again, as boys, I've got to look like I'm okay and I've got it together and I'm tough.
I'm not scared, yeah.
And it's really interesting because, you know, I run all over Australia. I'm not doing the seminars for teens anymore because I'm just too old and fat and they need someone better looking.
What's really funny...
I'm busy, Maddie. No time to do it, but thanks for the compliment.
What's really funny is how often they're sitting there with this look on their face going, oh, my God, is she looking in my bedroom? That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And my friends are doing it. They're thinking the same things and they don't share the fact that I'm feeling like I'm dumb, useless, stupid and awful.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Recently when we're talking in other parenting groups, me personally, the conversation always comes up about kids watching over kids when they're out parks and you know, they're doing various things, right? Because the conversation, I always say, I don't care if the kids ride to school. I don't care if they go up to the shops. They've got to learn some way. Otherwise, they're not going to get the opportunity like we did. But the conversation always comes back to the point, oh, things have changed now. There's much
it's
more dodgier people.
Is it a different world?
No, technically and statistically, our world is much safer than it was when we were hooning around.
But
like
is that
a feral
because
bunch
nobody
of kids.
Is hooning around like a feral bunch
no,
of kids?
No, no. The actual nasties are actually in lesser quantities than they were.
But we just hear about it more because of technology.
Yeah, and we explode it up, so it actually terrifies every parent.
Yep.
And of course, when they're frightened, we make different decisions. So once again, that inner ability of our kids to stretch. Our kids are wired to stretch and grow. But of course, we've also took away all the playgrounds that let them get smacked in the face by a seesaw in case they hurt themselves.
Yes.
And fall off the monkey bar. But what we actually have done, that actually helped kids realise, oh God, I need to be careful of my decisions.
Yeah, sure.
Now mum makes that by hovering over me to make sure I don't make that decision. So when do I learn to make that call myself? So those absolutely building capacity and confidence in children means we need them to have moments where they take a risk. We might have a conversation about what that looks like. And yes, they may fall off their bike. Yep.
Yep.
But once again, I keep just simple things. If you take a bunch of little kids to the park, for mums to turn away with their coffees and put their bum towards the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids think you're not watching. They're already feeling braver.
Yeah, sure.
Can you see once again?
I agree with this because there was a story a little while back, and I don't know if it was a school from New Zealand, but it's a school which basically has gotten rid of all those rules.
All the rules.
The kids actually police the playground. So if people if two kids are fighting, the kids will actually break it up.
Yep.
There's no rules about you're not allowed to climb up places. Yep. They let them climb because if they fall, they realise, don't do that again.
And they've got an assessment. Inner. They've actually got an inner thing that says, "Nah, that's high enough for me today."
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But what we've taken away, we've given these lovely, benign playgrounds that are terribly safe, so they can't stretch and grow, so they can't make a mistake. And then sometimes I think we've got that sort of perception: if a child falls off and hurts himself, there's the skippy.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have let mine up there.
Yeah.
And the bureaucrats
would say, "You're a bad parent."
That's really sad because effectively one day we want them to leave home with that capacity to, I'm going to have a go. Yeah. Oh, damn, it didn't work. Let me have another go.
But what about the fact that say the kid climbs up a tree at school, falls out, the parents sue the school then for not looking out for their kid?
Well, that's it. That's got a bit like an urban myth because when you actually plot it out in some of the work I've done, there is almost like this microscopic number of legal cases around playgrounds. We just got this urban myth that that's what's going to happen. And so we want to collectively in our circles, what we're parenting, say, look, we want to build a bit of gump in our kids.
Yes.
So, no, we're not going to throw them off the tree. We're going to encourage them to take, you know, a few risks so that they feel brave. And when they can't, they really ask to walk to that corner shop, if you can find one.
Yeah,
left.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
You look at their face when they come back with the milk, like it's this...
Yeah.
You know, I conquered the monkey bar.
And also because I get to keep the change.
Yes, that's right. The wonderful Maggie Dent is with us.
Alison's in Ocean Reef. Alison, meet Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Alison.
Now, what do you need help with, Alison?
I have a particularly fearful 14-year-old who's really struggling to go and do things on her own. She is worried about all the things in the news, ISIS, yeah. This and that. Mm. And, you know, how do we protect our kids these days when... social media, everything around them is quite fearful in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do we
right.
push them yep. toward that independence?
Okay. First thing is that so she could be developing what we call some worrying thinking patterns, which are some of our sensitive kids can do that. You know, some of them worry really early in life. So she would have probably had some of that already. So
completely.
The things that we have to do is challenge some of that thinking, but also keep the TV off and anything that scares the poop out of her. So she's only seeing it online. That's one thing. So when it's up on those giant screens, you know, awful things, that's all we report in the news.
Yep.
Then we're actually, you know, the perception our world is really scary and ghastly is huge. Your job is to actually keep going and finding where are the places where really good stuff happens so they can see good stories to counteract.
Disneyland.
No, probably not. They steal
creepy
children
stuff
there, so that's probably not good.
Yeah.
And then look at some ways that you can build her calming strategies because there are ways that we can build calming pathways in adolescence that circumvent those big, ugly thoughts. And I have got an ebook online called Taking the High Road, which has got some simple strategies to shut the mind off when it starts doing awfulizing and catastrophizing. And one
yes.
example of that is, you know, say she doesn't do well in a test. So an adolescent, that often triggers, oh, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm the only one who's not smart enough, because that's actually what's happening for all adolescents. Even your smartest ones will do this, that sort of mm-hmm. attack myself. We pick one line that she says to her over and over again to herself, and it might have been, oh, didn't have my lucky undies on today. So it's something really can be either quirky or whatever. She says it over and over in her head, so the catastrophizing thinking can't take over. Yep, and
awesome.
Then we want her to try some sort of calming things to make sure her sleep at night is as deep as possible, because deep sleep reduces anxiety the next day. And then
yes.
the third thing probably, how can you give her micro or small experiences where she masters it? She's not average. She's absolutely smashes it out of the park. So you've got to work out something I can do inside her that she can become really good at. Now, it can be cooking pancakes Sunday morning. It doesn't have to be, you know, the Zumba queen for school.
She's got it worrying.
Yeah. So you've got to, you've got to find
yeah,
something.
Really good at that.
Yeah. So can you see, don't make a PhD of the worrying, but you've got to find something that she feels really good about, because it shifts all that thinking.
What about pushing her into doing things?
Oh, no, that's a real disaster at this age.
So you have to really back off.
You would have done that about 7 or 8, possibly, but even then with sensitive ones, I've never pushed them.
Do you know what? There was a guy that I went to school with, and he was a great bloke, but he was one of these worry warts as well, and he never, ever, through the whole of high school, went to a party because he was too worried about just every facet of going to a party.
Yeah.
So these thinking thought patterns accelerate with the brain changes, which is why we have so much of an epidemic of depression among our teens. So once again, it's not always easy to pick it, is it? Like moody, dark adolescence. What's the difference between that and one that's actually depressed?
Yeah.
So these are the sorts of things that Youth Focus runs programs on to help us understand that. But ultimately, it isn't easy for us. And even as a full-time counsellor, like I was for 5 years, there were times it was kind of a bit of this and that. What we did is tried some strategies, and if they didn't work, is probably a chance that there was a serious depression going on.
You know who makes sense? It's Maggie Dent makes sense, and she's here with us this morning. MaggieDent.com is where you can get all the info on the talks that she's doing. She's got one for Youth Focus next Wednesday at Hale School. Get around that.
And she's got realistic life advice as well for your parenting. Kate's in Mount Lawley. Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
We're great. Kate. Meet Maggie.
How you going,
Maggie.
Kate?
What are you battling with, Kate?
I have a 15-year-old daughter who's going on 16. She continuously goes over on her mobile phone account, and we're talking sort of like 200, maybe hitting the 300. We've taken her phone off her so many times to the point where she's become completely unruly, to the point where she sort of stands there screaming that you've taken my life away.
Yeah.
We have taken the phone, and she's basically isolated herself for sort of the best part of a week, to the point where we just sort of think, you know, this is affecting the other three kids in the house, and we just give it back.
Yeah.
Under the condition that you do not go over, and it's just every month, it's sort of, Mum, you have to speak to Dad, because this is what I've done again. And I'm like, the meat in a sandwich, and I can't do it anymore.
Just quickly, Kate, have you what about prepaid, getting her a prepaid account?
So that if it runs out, it's her fault.
Yeah, well, basically, once her account, once this actual contract is up in her phone, which is sort of August this year, that's obviously what we're going to go to. But she's pretty much mentioned the fact that, well, if you go prepaid, I'll never talk to you again, and we're just like,
I'm pretty sure every parent out there that's had an adolescent issue with around a mobile phone has been told that too.
Yeah,
that I'll never talk to you again. You're the bitch and the worst person on the planet. Now, there's a couple of things underlying this that I want to touch on, Kate. And the first one is that one of the biggest drivers for adolescents is the need to belong with their peers and their friends. So she's, you know, you are pushing her when you take the phone off her, which sounds like a really logical, sensible thing, doesn't it? You know, I'm going to withdraw the privilege of having that because you've abused it and it's coming out of our pocket.
They don't see it as a privilege.
They see it as a right, which is really sad. But what you're doing is you're putting her into a possible position where she can get jeopardised and turfed out of her social group, which is like a social suicide form. It's really, really awful. If she can't keep a finger on the pulse of what's happening, then she could miss that, and therefore she'll get dumped and dropped, because girls do nasties. They go from bitches to besties and back again in 3 seconds.
And you know that.
Everyone out there with a teenage girl, just, you know, and it's really hard because it really is hurtful. And at different times, sometimes it's our girl doing it, which is also hurtful. However, it's kind of girl code a lot of the time. Okay, so you got to work out, have a conversation with her with great love.
Yes.
You know, and that's the big thing, isn't it? Why we have to drink so much coffee and eat so much chocolate. It's seriously hard to love someone who's just, who's told you, you know, F off.
Yeah.
However, underneath all that, the number one protective factor for our teens is a warm and connected relationship with parents. So for us, even though, you know, she gives you all this stuff, she really still needs your support and love. So I'd have a quiet conversation sometime. It's not always easy to pick that moment, is it? But okay, so we've got this problem with all this money because we actually can't afford this. This is just too much and it seems unfair to everyone else. So I want you to give me some thoughts on how we can help this not happen. And you come back and then Dad and you and I will have a conversation, because I want you to start problem solving this, because one day you're going to have a credit card and you're going to have all sorts of other stuff. I know you need to be connected. I respect that. However, you know, and I know you're not good at making decisions. Remember, no prefrontal lobe till about 22 to 24 for girls and 27 to 80 to boys. So that ability to be able to manage money and to be able to make good decisions, plan for the future and learn from their mistakes, that isn't there yet. They haven't got enough myelin. So having those conversations from a loving space, and then I reckon if you can, within 10 minutes of her being absolutely revolting to her. No, probably a bit longer, because us girls can't do it that quick. Dad could do it that quick. You know, I'd make her a cup of Milo. I'd give her a peace offering, because honest to goodness, their world is full of so much stuff we don't see. And if they get to the critical tipping point where it's all too hard, they'll either self-harm, hurt themselves, try to attempt suicide, run away from home, or punch out a teacher. They're not bad. They're not coping. Our world's got nastier. They need more love and support. So all of you out there, I know we want to bust them, you know, because that seems to make sense. But in actual fact, we might be pushing them to that cliff, which we don't want to push our teens to.